Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me are two dudes. They're my favorite dudes in the Dual Screens universe, and some maybe on Earth. Nobody really knows. First, I'm going to introduce to you Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
How big is the Dual Screens universe?
Oh, it's ever expanding.
Wide and expanding?
It's like, I want to ever get expanding. Yes, it's ever expanding. Just when's like our, my waistline.
When's our Hulu TV? Yes, this is very true.
We're not going to have a Hulu TV show. We are in talks with Paramount Plus right now.
I feel like we're like
exclusive rights.
I feel we're like Daily Motion level, if that.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe we'll see. And we have Taylor with us. Taylor Allen, how are you, Taylor?
Crackle. Hi. Yes, I'm back.
Yes.
I was gone last week, but now I'm here.
We single-handedly saved your marriage.
Yeah, you did.
That's right.
It was rocky for a while.
It was.
My wife was just needing some help with the kids, wanted a little breather, so I helped with the kids, and she went out, and I believe she got herself some pasta.
Oh,
she went for a little drive.
Wow.
And just like hung out in silence for like 2 hours, and she felt great. So.
Darkness. I think when somebody else is with your kids for an extended period of time, I think it should be mandatory that somebody visits your home, actually, maybe, or just puts you in a van, drives you as far away as possible without it taking like too long to get back, and puts mm-hmm. you in a sensory deprivation tank. Yeah. So you could just sit there in complete silence, complete darkness, and just chill. First, maybe get a massage or something like that, but just sit there mm-hmm. in this deprivation mm-hmm. tank, possibly with, I don't know, your favorite snack or and mm-hmm. beverages, where you can just mm-hmm. sit there in complete darkness yeah. and just be like, I just want to hear the bubbles of my seltzer crackle mm-hmm. in this can and literally nothing else. I am confident. Welcome to Crossplay, by the way. This is where we're at this point. I am confident that if you told me that I did not have to wake up, that there was literally nothing to wake up for tomorrow. You told me that right now, I could sleep until this time tomorrow. There is not a doubt in my mind that I could absolutely sleep for 24 hours.
You should try that sometime. It's actually really good.
My record is 20.
I've seen you do it before.
It's really good.
I've seen you do it before.
My record is 20.
We played games real late one night. You texted me at like 10 p.m. the next night and said, I just woke up.
You should aim.
Your sleep schedule is fucked.
You gotta smash that record, Steven. You know, you gotta break that shit.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you gotta get those numbers up.
Yeah, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing bad about sleeping that much, and oh man, this show is great. This is a great show so far. The only thing bad about that is you wake up thinking that you caught diabetes in your sleep because your body is so dehydrated, your blood sugar is so low, you don't know what day it is, what time of day it is. All you know is that you have to pee really bad, you have an unexplained erection that you can't figure out why, and you're dizzy as fuck. Like, that's the only thing that happens when you sleep 20 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news podcast, starring three dudes that you've never heard of, probably. It posts each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice and records live right here on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And if you like this, ladies and gentlemen, well, you're going to like our other shows. That's right. We have the Dual Screens Podcast. And coming up this week, we're going to have our guest is going to come on to talk about Cyber Shadow, Andy. That's the one that's going up this Friday, Cyber Shadow.
And it's been a month since we recorded that show.
I know. It's up right now in early access for our Patreon supporters. So if you want to support us on Patreon, go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. And as little as $1 could get you all sorts of bonuses and stuff like that. And I believe the $3 tier gets you the early bonus access to the show. And we have, I think we have two more already in the can.
Right. So what you're saying is, if you're going to give us money now, because early access is all about March.
Yeah.
Things are done and ready for March. So if you're going to throw some cash at us, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, you're getting a bonus episode this week.
We will not be this organized for a long time ever again, so enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, we're going to have another one because we're recording, I think, again this weekend.
Yeah, we're doing this weekend and then the week after.
So that's going to...
A guest from Indonesia. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, Indonesia.
It's going to be a lot of fun, yeah.
Wow. Well, we want to thank our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul, who have seen something in us.
Mm.
I can't...
Not sure what that something is.
But they saw it. Can't Colton received his care package from me. I don't know what you two guys are doing, but he has received my care package. His wife opened it up on FaceTime with him because he's, as you know, he's been working away from home about, I think, something like 4.5 hours away from home every day. So he's been staying in a hotel. And I sent him a lot of really fun little goodies. Some things confused him greatly. There was a blue giraffe.
As they should.
Cool. That I did not know was in there. So that was a penny joint. Penny put that in there.
Oh, I was going to say, your medication is really taking a toll on your on your brain.
And he also received Deadly Towers. Andy.
Deadly Towers, yeah. It's a good one.
Yes. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the adventures in gaming, 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 gaming. Taylor.
There you go.
Tell me about Outriders.
Okay. Outriders. I know this is not going to be a popular opinion amongst this group here, and probably with a lot of people. I think Outriders is fucking awesome. The acclaim around Outriders has been like kind of meh. In my opinion, it's because people are playing the game wrong. Suck less of the game. How about? No, Outriders is super cool though. I really like it a lot. I love the healing mechanic being tied to how aggressive you are in combat. I love that you literally never have to hide behind cover. You can just constantly be healing by like using your different abilities and stuff like that. I think it's really cool. I also love that within like the first three levels of the game, you're getting loot that has mods on it that significantly change the way you play the game. Like you are getting meaningful gear and making meaningful gear choices at like level 2 or level 3 that makes your build feel super, super powerful. And y'all know I love that shit.
So I want to ask you a couple questions about this.
Sure.
Because I still haven't played it. It's on my to-do list. And how much longer do we have for that? Is that like an open thing, open-ended thing?
Yeah, the demo is going to be available forever. Okay. Even after the game comes out.
Because your save file goes to the main game, which is
right.
Good.
Yeah. So one of the things that I don't like about looter shooters is that when you get gear, you outgrow that gear so quickly. Sure. And in Borderlands specifically, the guns that you get, actually all the gear you get, even the, like the little augments and stuff, will significantly alter how your character plays. And if you like a certain way, you might stick with a gun that's underpowered because you like what it does, and it could take you levels upon levels upon levels to find that up-leveled gun that does the same thing. Do you see Outriders also falling into that? Like, if you're getting these things so early, how are they going to help you levels down the line, or are they just going to be discarded once you find the next shiny thing?
So... you don't have the ability to do this in the demo, but no, I don't think it's going to go down that road. Actually, I know it's not going to go down that road because of their crafting system. So the main thing that like augments your abilities and changes the way that you play are the mods attached to your armor and your weapons. When you dismantle a weapon, you get the mod that was in that weapon permanently. And you can put that in any other weapon that has an open mod slot. They don't have the crafting system available in the demo, but once it's open, if you find a new gun that's way more powerful, but the mod on it sucks, you can go to the vendor, you can take the mod off, you can add the old mod that you really liked that altered your playstyle in the way that, you know, fit to how you're wanting to play. And you can just keep doing that in perpetuity as long as you have the, like, money to rip the mod out and put it in. And it's not like rare currency, you get it from dismantling stuff. So I think that aspect is going to make the loot churn feel a lot better, because you're just hunting for those mods and that next mod that's going to make you feel more powerful. And you can even do that on legendary items. So if you find a legendary weapon, let's say it's a sniper rifle and you don't want to use sniper rifles, but the mod on there really augments a certain ability that you like, you can dismantle that legendary gun, put that mod on another gun, and then you'll get that benefit of the legendary mod on a separate gun. And you can even like double stack them, so you can tear apart that legendary weapon and put two of the same mod on guns. Some, you know, higher level guns will have two or three mod slots. And so it'll like drastically change the way the game feels, like you have a legendary weapon, but you're using a machine gun instead of a sniper rifle, you know? So the loot, they've like fully detailed how the end game works, how the mod system works and everything, which I think is nice, because most looter shooters don't do that. Destiny never detailed that stuff. Division, Anthem, like they never talk about the end game pre-release, right? And these guys, People Can Fly, have detailed everything and just laid out exactly how it's going to work. And it, so far, obviously we don't have our hands on the full game yet, so far everything sounds really good. And it sounds like they're doing things the right way with the end game and with the loot churn and stuff like that.
Gotcha. All right, what else are you playing?
The other game I've been playing is Curse of the Dead Gods, which just went 1.0 a week or two ago. That game is pretty fucking cool. It is a roguelite. It has this like really cool curse mechanic. Andy, you've been playing this a little bit too, right?
I have. I'm loving the art style. And like, again, the curse mechanic is a really different flair for this kind of a game. The combat, I'm having a little bit of an issue with it a little bit, because I'm used to like the tightness and reactiveness of a Hades. Because playing that for so long, it's like I expect all games like this to work as perfectly and function as precisely as that game does. But in any case, it takes some getting used to, but it is a lot of fun and way rewarding to play. Again, gorgeous art style. It's, I didn't die as often as I thought I would, but it's got some decent challenge to it too.
The initial levels are really easy. But as you move up in the temple, it becomes a lot more difficult when you start having to face two or three bosses per run. And the curse mechanic plays a really heavy part in that, because on that first level of the temple, you're not really facing enough to where you're getting those like end game curses, basically. So the way the curse mechanic works is everything that you can get during your run, upgrades, weapons, augments to your stats, things like that, you can pay for with either gold that you find in your run and disappears after you die or you complete it, or you can pay for it with blood and you gain a certain amount of curse. And each level you progress, you gain a little bit of curse as well. And you have, I think, five regular curse slots and then one, like, I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically like the ultimate curse, right? And those base curses can actually like kind of help you, kind of hurt you. Yeah. You know, it'll be like you deal an extra 10% damage in darkness, but you also take an extra 15% damage in darkness or something. So it's like kind of altering your play style, but doesn't really harm you. I got my first like ultimate curse the other day though, and it just straight up drains your health continuously until you hit one HP. Like nothing you can do about it. It just constantly is like damage over time, taking away your health until you get down to one.
What's the benefit on that?
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing. But that was the first time that I was playing a run long enough that I actually gathered enough curse to get to that point. And I was like, oh shit, we really have to like make decisions. Cause up to that point, I was just like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just pay for it with blood. I don't need to use my gold. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll just get everything. And that doesn't work on the later runs. And these debilitating curses, holy cow. just like totally fuck you up. And can bring a run to a screeching halt. But it's really cool. I agree with Andy. The combat feels weird. But the mix of weapons and stuff is really nice. I like the different types of weapons that I've ran into so far.
I think the whip in that game stole me. I was like, yep, there's a whip. I'm good. I'm sold. This game is awesome.
I agree.
Andy, what you got on your plate? What have you been playing?
Let's see. I did some cleanup on a few games this past weekend. The one of note being Carry On, that like reverse horror game you play as like a blob with teeth that eats people.
Yep.
So I finished that. It's funny because I was playing for like a good couple hours on Saturday, and then the fiance was like, oh, what if the game ends like this? He took a cursory glance of the game, what it's like, and then sort of guessed the ending. I'm like, that sounds predictable. It's not going to go that way. It was literally how the game ended. I was like, oh, well, fucking spoiler alert, dude. Thanks for warning me. Did you beat this already without me knowing? Fucking asshole. But great game. Good ending. I want more of it. And then after that, I sort of fell down a H.io horror hole.
Oh, here we go.
I'm kind of stuck in there.
Yeah.
So there's two things I want to mention that were pretty good that I played this past week. One is a game called Dino Hazard. It's like Biohazard, Dino Crisis. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a PS1 era-ish graphics.
Sure.
Dinosaur killing game. There's a demo of it on itch. Pretty fun, pretty limited, but still, it's Dino Crisis reincarnated, more or less. Then I stumbled across a game.
Are these zombie dinosaurs?
No, they're actual raptors. They're living raptors.
I was going to say, like, if you're going to do it, just go the whole nine yards, make them zombies. Sure. I guess technically they would be zombies if they're dinosaurs, right?
True.
That's technically true. Speaking.
Technically.
Like Jesus when he rose from the dead.
Right. He's a zombie.
Which is coming up soon.
Well, it depends on why the dinosaurs are there.
Is yours before mine? Is
No, I think mine's like a month after yours this
a
year.
A month after. Your Jesus rises from the dead
you
a
know,
month after
we're
mine.
We're always
Jesus.
Late. It's amazing. We're always late to the party.
It's amazing.
Is that an Easter joke?
It is an Easter joke. Because Andy's is Greek and they celebrate Greek Easter.
Old calendar.
They use the old calendar. Because depending on what technology you use, Jesus rose from the dead at different times.
This is true. This is very true.
Indeed.
Gotcha.
So the other game I played.
I'm an atheist, so.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just going by what I was taught in the school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other game I fell in love with this past week was a game called Tonsil Terror.
Oh, God.
Good
so
Lord.
It's a game. It's a first person game, but imagine the camera is behind your uvula. And that's where the view is. So you see dangling uvula and just teeth. And you can't see what's in front of you. Now, you're in your house, and the goal is to locate 8 lozenges in the house. Mm-hmm. And you can only see by talking or screaming. So when you scream, your mouth opens up, you can see what's around you. But when you scream, ghosts can find you and chase you in your house. And the best part is, this game has microphone integration. So you can yell at your TV. You can yell at your TV while trying to find, and you keep them all in your mouth too, like a hamster.
I would love to know what drugs are being consumed where they made this game.
So this is actually a really fun dev on itch.io. His name was like Paper Something Studios, I think.
Okay.
He does one game every single month.
Okay.
And they're all like PS1 horror type throwbacks, and they're all amazing. And this one was just so quirky. I was busting out laughing the entire time playing, just yelling at my TV and seeing my uvula, and then just like this creepy ass, like low poly ghost haunting you in the house while you hunt for candy. It was really good.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Steve, what games have you been playing?
Who the fuck cares at this point? Who cares?
Can you, yeah. Can you even? I should always go last in this.
I went back to my island in Animal Crossing this weekend in my ride or die with Miss Envy.
Oh, nice.
And I had a blast, and it was nice visit. My island wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It had, of course, it had its roaches in every room in my house, and there were some weeds scattered about, and everybody said, hey, we thought you were dead. We thought you died. That's what my villagers were like. It was 8 months since I had been on my island.
I watched you water a stack of weeds.
Yes, I watered weeds because they looked like really flowers funny. Because they had grown so, they had matured.
Oh my God, to such cocaine's a degree. A hell of a drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So Miss Envy and another viewer, listener, CTO The Bro, helped me get the weeds out.
Relearn the game,
yes, because there's a ton of new stuff, new things. I scuba dove. There's scuba doving now.
Scuba diving.
I scuba dove. Nice. Scuba dived. Scubed. Mm-hmm. Scooped. And it was a lot of fun. I had a blast. I have not gone back as I said I would, but only because I was so busy with work. Like I was thinking you'd be like sit at my desk, oh wait, I gotta do some work. But no, I was just too busy. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun. Your typical stuff, still going through Days Gone, still playing Apex, still playing Warzone. And for our Game Pass or Play, I actually started Rage 2 last night. Again, I just
what not was had that time. Noise, Taylor?
I think that game kind of sucks. So that was I me like trying a, to
like
be
a,
interested.
Like a part of your soul just died. left us.
sounds like you had some bad toast, bad like just something. I don't know.
Bad oyster turning around.
Yeah, bad oyster. There it is. You know, so I mean, I'm only a couple hours in. I kind of like it. I mean, I know that you have to play it longer to really get a sense of it, and that a lot of people fall off as the longer they play, but we'll see. I wasn't expecting it to be an open world FPS. And I think that kind of hurts it a little bit just from, cause if it starts off with like a nice strong little narrative, you feel like you're going to get into a cool, like resistance fall of man style, like story alien shooting the bad guys and whatever. And then they're like, okay, just go out in the world. And like, well, now the narrative's suffering. Now the urgency of the world is suffering. So I think but I love the shooting. I like the guns feel really good. The encounters are fun. So I like that. I feel like it's like they kind of tried a Borderlands without going the whole nine yards of like actually putting loot and that kind of thing in the game. I feel like if there's a Rage 3, that would be like the logical piece to the puzzle. Would be just a massive amount of loot. But whatever. The more I play, I'll formulate a larger, broader opinion on that game. Was there anything else? I don't think so. I think that was it. I think that was all I really
cool.
Dove into. What do you got for us on the indie news update there, Andreas?
Oh, we got a few stories, a pair of nice stories to talk about today. First of all, The Binding of Isaac Repentance is heading to Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC this year. This is going to be the third expansion and hopefully final expansion for Binding of Isaac. I feel like this game just won't go away. Like, I love this game to death, but I feel like, are you not done yet with this thing? What's happening? So this is described as the best version of Isaac by its creator, Edmund McMillan, who is not at all resting on his laurels. And this will cost you a whopping $60 when it comes out. So
this has the new expansion, right?
So it contains the Afterbirth, which added some characters and 80 weapons and items and some shit like that. And then this is building upon that expansion. So it's like the ultimate version of Binding of Isaac. Mm.
Because I know, friend of the show, Tommy Eyebrows, who is a Binding of Isaac streamer. You can go watch him at twitch.tv/TommyEyebrows. He said that there was something coming out very soon that was brand new for the game. So I wonder if that's part of this package or if this, is a separate
entity. It is out in March, so possibly. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to ask him. I'm gonna have to send him a message and be like, "Is this what you were waiting on? What's so special about it?" I mean, he's ridiculous at the game, but whatever.
I really think that was the first like roguelike game I ever played, ever.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Now that I'm thinking about it, because I remember being like, "What is this weird game mechanic? Why am I dying and coming back at the beginning and I lose all my shit? What is this nonsense?" And then that's when I was like, "Oh, it's a genre. It's a thing that exists."
You know, Andy, I'm gonna advise you on something, Andy.
You advise.
There are two words there that are separated by a slight pause that would differentiate when you say game mechanic, as opposed to making it sound like game mechanic.
Game mechanic.
I was like, there's a game cat. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's you got to pay the toll troll.
And that's the second time my brain did that when you spoke today. All right, let's get into the dual screens report.
Wait, there's one more thing.
Oh, my bad. One quickie. Oh, that's right. There is one more thing. Quickie. I'm sorry.
Valheim has reached 4 million copies sold in 3 weeks. And the next biome could launch this year. That's pretty monumental for a game that launched only 3 weeks ago. Huge success. Please respond to my emails.
Great success.
You people at that developer studio that, what are you called again?
Taylor didn't like that game. Taylor deleted it.
Are you not one of the 4 million strong, Taylor?
No, listen. I don't like survival games. I actually really like watching this game. I just don't like playing survival games. If I could get someone to just like, all they wanted to do was like build a base for me and craft all my shit, and I could just like go out and like fight bad guys and mine stuff, I would do that. But I hate building and I hate combining resources to build other shit. It's not fun to me. But this game is pretty cool. Quick rundown on some stats too. 500,000 peak concurrent players on Steam, 80,000 positive reviews on Steam, making it currently the 57th best reviewed game on Steam.
Runaway success over here. That's total insane.
It looks like a early PS2 game to me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Watching it.
Totally. Totally. It's also doing very well on Twitch. Peak concurrent viewership record of 188,000 and has had over 28 million hours of watch time on Twitch.
I have not once voluntarily watched that game be played. I will open tabs of all my favorite people, and if they happen to be playing it, I'm like, cool. But I never typed in Valheim. Let me see what this is. No. But it does actually look really interesting. It looks like a game that I would like, like 60% of it. But I'm with you. I'm with you on the survival thing. Like it gives me anxiety to know, and that's the point, obviously.
Right.
But the thing is, Andy.
Yes, Steven.
In a survival horror game, that when you die, you just kind of start over. Like you just pick up where you left off and try again. Mm-hmm. In these survival games, it's like you died. Sorry. Goodbye.
You've lost all your shit.
And I'm like,
don't come back.
No. gets me a little crazy. But I don't know. Taylor, in our chat right now, which you could be a part of right now, if you go to our recordings that we do every single Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, we have multiple people volunteering that they would build for you.
I might buy that game again. just have Miss Rad stuff and Vegas just build me a dope ass castle.
Listen, I don't mind joining you on that. I'll be your hunter gatherer with you. We'll be like a duo over there with our bows and stuff. And be like,
yeah,
we'll keep the ladies at home. Make sure they're up keeping the base. We'll go out and hunt, and we'll say, ladies, give me my mead.
Dear God.
The ladies will have our mead. Right? They could be our Valheim wives.
This is going a different direction.
They could be our Valheim wives. It would be great. And then we'll turn on them and form a gay relationship and kick them out of the household. That was popular in the Valheim days. Let's get into the dual screen.
Okay.
No, what? Where did you go with that? Oh my God. I'm disturbed by that. That says a lot. I'm shook, Steven. I'm shook.
Serotonin is a funny thing.
I am a shook boy.
Let's talk about the dual screens report, Andy. We're going to start with you. What are you putting in here?
Sure. Oh, that's your highlighting. Cool. So the company called Forever Entertainment that is responsible for remaking the Panzer Dragoon remake. I think it's actually called Panzer Dragoon Remake is the full name of that game.
Okay.
Is being tapped by Square Enix Japan to make a bunch of more remakes for them. And all they can say is Parasite Eve, Xenogears, Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, or something new in those things. Please, please, please. You have so many good IPs, Square, that are sitting and doing nothing.
Mm.
So give them second life.
Give them all of it. Give them all of
the IP. Let them be bought and spread the love. Now, what's interesting here is that Forever will receive 50% of the sales for each copy of the game sold, which is kind of nice. It's a good deal for them.
Mm.
I like that. Taking care of those guys. They're doing your remakes for you. Oh, yeah. I'm just wondering how much of a remake are we talking about? I'm not seeing things on a scale of a FF7 remake coming out of Forever Entertainment.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I'm thinking more like a Secret of Mana type situation.
That feels about right.
Refresh my memory. Who started the FF7 remake before they scrapped it?
That was CyberConnect 2. CyberConnect 2 worked on that for, I believe, 2 years. I think they were best known for all those Naruto games, those games and whatchamacallit. That's what they're.
I think
really
they did one
for.
Open world Naruto
right.
game. I don't know.
So they did that for 2 years. We got Anemic Cloud when it was first unveiled to the world, and Square was like, you know what? We're gonna bring it and do it ourselves. So thank you, but no thank you. Stop.
Turns out we finished that game we were working on for 11 years. So we can sort of.
But listen, I'm all for remakes if they're done well and they pick the right games. And I just want to see my old favorites come back. And
it's all about having a great working relationship, a symbiotic relationship, as it were. Speaking of, we have a new relationship has bloomed. There has been a marriage.
Oh,
Mediatonic,
yes. A union.
Former guest of the Dual Screens podcast.
Yes.
Mediatonic Games has joined Epic Games. Mm. Epic Games is now going to be the publisher.
They own that shit.
They own it. They're like,
it's been acquired.
What does this mean? Nobody knows. It means what it means.
Yo,
right?
Like this happened really fast, by the way. I'm alarmed by this movement. A lot of acquisitions going down lately, and I just feel like, oh, Fall Guys was great. Let's just buy these guys really fast while, you know, they're still riding high in their popularity. Yep. Like, what their next game would even look like. Or will they just do Fall Guys forever?
I think Fall Guys has legs. I think Fall Guys could be a thing that lasts. Like, this could be their Fortnite.
True.
Two. Epic, like, you know what I mean?
Epic
like, this
does
is their
good job. Yeah, they do a good job letting games run and run and run. Like, Paragon was out forever, and that game was dead 8 different times, right? But like with Psyonix and stuff, and Rocket League, and Fortnite, and now Fall Guys, I think it just kind of like adds to that Epic Games feel. You know, all of those games kind of like feel like they're in the same vein, so it makes sense.
And they know it. Like, they know
how to
make those last. Like, they know how to milk it for all it's worth. Like, 100%. You're gonna see Fall Guys toys now. Easily, you're gonna see Fall Guys toys. Like, you can have Fall Guys play sets where you make your own hazards and levels and stuff. God. Like, it's gonna be so they could do
customize
so much.
Your little bean toy,
your little
you
bean toy.
Merchandise.
It could be like potato head.
Fuck out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But like a Fall Guy, you know, like that's dope. That's dope, and something that only a larger publisher would be able to. Like, of course, with anything popular, even if you're a small creator, like you can do all of that stuff. You could hire the right people, but when you have somebody like that to come in with the expertise, and they could just give you that sack of cash. Like, yes, absolutely. I hope they just retain some of the royalty rights or whatever, but I digress.
Yeah.
I digress, damn it. Taylor, is the Vita ever going to die?
No, it's not. Mm. I found this story very funny. So today, developer Flying Oak Games announced that its roguelite Scourgebringer is coming to the PlayStation Vita April 22nd.
Yo, that's a good ass game.
Yes.
They stopped making Vitas 2 years ago.
Probably. Most likely.
3 years ago? Something like that.
They stopped supporting it 7 years ago.
Yes.
Have you been to Japan? Yeah. Is my follow-up question for that state. Because that's very much alive and well in Japan. Our friend the Vita.
But like it's 2021. And a game is coming out for the PlayStation Vita. This is insane.
Taylor, the Wii U is getting an update also at some point this week, I think.
It's true. It's true.
It's not in the hype zone, but you know, it don't matter anymore.
It doesn't. Japan is in its own little planet.
Viva la Vita, I say.
I love the Vita. I love my Vita. Where are you? My sweet love. My sweet prince.
Sweet child. Shelf. Sweet, sweet baby girl.
It's on the shelf.
I had one of the OLED Vitas when I was younger, and I sold it.
Horrible.
Do I regret it?
Congratulations, you're terrible.
That's the one I have. I have the OLED. Andy.
Steven.
Let's just xenomorph into the next story here.
Okay. Nice. All right. Nice. The drugs are working. So, Cold Iron, a studio founded by former Cryptic Studios developers, which has been bought and sold four times over the last 6 years, evidently, have unveiled their current project. It is an Aliens game, a Aliens co-op game called Aliens Fireteam. It doesn't look like ass, but my friends, I learned something new today. Okay, hear me out. You can spot a good Aliens game if there's no S next to Aliens. So if it's Alien, like Alien Isolation, it's going to be a good game. Mm. If it's Aliens, it's question mark. Like, we don't know.
So this is question mark.
This could be dog shit. We don't know yet.
True.
Because Aliens, Colonial Marines, heaping pile of dog shit. So, you know, that's how you know. That's you can suss it out. But listen, they're trying to do like a Left 4 Dead but with Xenomorph situation. I love this IP. I love this universe. I'm all about co-op killing aliens and some shit. Mm-hmm. I love like the different kinds of aliens you can fight. They got the queen in the trailer. I'm all about that shit. But
Andy, did you read I'm sure you read the whole article, but this one's kind of, I don't know. It says notably, Fireteam is also not a horror game.
Mm.
It's set in the Alien universe, so of course it's filled with terrifying xenomorphs,
sure,
and sterile sci-fi environments,
sure.
But it's a team-based shooter first and foremost,
right?
Concerned with more action and tactics than creeping tension.
Well, that's the Aliens difference. Alien Ridley Scott was a science fiction horror.
Right.
Aliens, James Cameron, get the fuck off her, you bitch, whatever he says to her. She says to the queen, it's all action, that movie. So that's the distinction. So I know this is going to be a scary game. It's like you're shooting shit with your friends. It's all about having a good time.
So is this one, like...
Like, I would love more Isolation, don't get me wrong, but...
This isn't like Predator Hunting Grounds. Like nobody's being the Xenos. This is just like
I think it's AI Xenos and your friends.
Play with your friends.
Up. Yeah.
Cool.
Like a Left 4 Dead. I'm sure there'll be some mode where someone plays as the Xeno at some point, but isn't that more like Alien vs. Predator? It's like pick the Marine, Predator, or Alien. That's like how those games go.
I don't know. Predator Hunting Grounds was fun until it wasn't anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I played that game with you two times.
Didn't take very long. Did not take long.
I like it though. I want to play it again. I do.
Game's fun for a night.
What else do we got here before we get into the big ones? That's it. So we got our big ones here.
I think we're going to big boys now.
All right. It is time, ladies and gentlemen.
It is time.
To talk Pokemon.
So much excitement for this.
That's right. Pokemon. Ladies and gentlemen, we had the Pokemon 25th anniversary. 25 years ago, Andy, Pokemon entered this universe. And here we are, 25 years later. And I still get butterflies in my stomach when I think about Pokemon. Is that weird?
Yeah, it is.
A little bit. A little bit.
Okay. So we got a little bit more information on the new Pokemon Snap, which I'm super, super excited.
It looks
to
so good.
Not play this game.
What?
Let
what is wrong with you?
Let me explain.
What is wrong with you?
Let me explain.
You're dead inside.
Let me explain.
I've explained it.
No, you haven't. I am purposefully mm-hmm. not going to play this game because this is one of my wife's fondest childhood memories is Pokemon Snap. Mm.
Sure.
And I want her to play it. And I want to experience the joy through her. Mm. That is why I am very excited about this because she's going to love it, even though she's not going to know any of the Pokemon in it. We also got a Pokemon remake now. We're going to be getting, I think it's called Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. That's what it was.
Yes.
Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. So it's the Diamond and Pearl remakes. Those were the games that got me back into Pokemon when I fell off. Like, I never played Ruby and Sapphire. Excuse me. But, like, that was kind of like my little too old for this. But then Diamond and Pearl came out, I think, 2007, I want to say that was, and I fell in love with Pokemon all over again. I started playing the card game again and all that stuff. So it's really cool that these games are being remade. But it kind of looks like a Link's Awakening style remake, where I hope that there's more to the remake than just a facelift, if that makes sense. Like, I hope there's quality of life changes. It looks like there might be. I didn't see wild Pokemon like in Go, you know, running around where you could capture them. But I'm really hoping that they do some quality of life changes in here. What were your thoughts on
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath.
No chance.
It's going to be like Link's Awakening, like you said.
Yep.
It's the path of least resistance for Nintendo.
100%.
And it's going to sell a bajillion copies in a day. That's all they're concerned with. So quality of life goes out the window. It's new Pokemon. Yeah. It's coming out this year. You gotta fucking buy it. I feel like if there was gonna be some sort of grand like revamping of these old games, it would be more like a Let's Go title going on. But this is clearly, it's old shit, made new shit, fresh coat of paint, but it's the same car under the hood, essentially. Which isn't a bad thing. These are still great games, but you know. This wasn't
but as
for
we
me,
know, as we know though, like they could just HD this, just HD the other one, just throw it on, charge you $60 like they did with Mario and all the other shit.
Could they?
And Skyward Sword, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it works on the Switch now, and you can put it in the Pokebank and all that other fucking shit that we do with Pokemon and make you pay money for.
I mean, absolutely, they could have done that. It's sad to think that they'd actually still buy it. People likely would, and that makes me weep for humanity. But you know,
I mean, all they would have to change is the like two screens into one. That's all they would have to do.
Sort of trying to make it feel like they put some actual effort into it. But again, this was not the highlight for me the entire show.
No,
it was good
not.
To see it. Good to see it. But I think the last thing you're holding on to,
yes,
is what I really want to talk about.
It's finally happening.
Yes,
boys and girls,
it's happening.
It's real.
We are finally getting an open world Pokemon video game. Mm-hmm. And instantly people were calling it Pokemon of the Wild or Breath of the Pokemon. Now,
so creative.
This takes place way before all of the Pokemon games. This takes place in the Sinnoh continent.
The before times.
Right. Arceus is the legendary Pokemon of creation. As we know,
God,
the Pokemon nerd is coming out.
It's Pokemon
in,
God.
In the description of like the universe of this game, they say not too far prior to this moment, there was no difference between Pokemon and people. That people and Pokemon were the same thing.
Well, look at each other. Look at Mr. Mime. That's like the
but exactly
example.
So
right there.
So this game takes place where Pokemon are in the wild, but they're not integrated into like society in the way that we know they are, with like jobs and like roles to play and like whatever. So you are like essentially the first Pokemon trainers ever. The Pokeballs are wooden. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But they're wooden and you go like out there and you're like sneaking around.
Out of them.
Yeah. You're like sneaking around trying to sneak up on Pokemon, just chucking a ball at them and like trying to capture wild Pokemon. But then also there's wild Pokemon battles and it's all in 3D and it looks fucking cool. But I really wish that they just chose a slightly different world art style just so that they could not be compared every 5 seconds to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, it looks like you could have gone with a whole different motif and the setting, but it looks like legit plunked in Breath of the Wild.
I mean, obviously, I don't hate it either. That's not what we're saying.
It's not about hate. It's just, you know, you could have done something different.
It's bringing more negativity to the game than I think is necessary. It's like, oh, another ripoff, and now they're ripping off their own thing. You know what I mean? Like that's some of the comments I saw. Obviously the thing that made Breath of the Wild so amazing was not the graphics. It was not the world design. It was the physics and the technology that went into the sandbox that was the game. I don't think we're getting a Pokemon sandbox. I'm seeing more of a true open world RPG. That's what I see from this. I see like a Dragon Quest, but Pokemon. I don't know if I'm completely off with that, but that's what I'm seeing for this.
I'm just eager to see how Game Freak handles this type of genre. It's a huge departure for this team. They've done Pokemon the way they've done it for many, many years with slight alterations to, you know, make it a little fresh with every generation. But this is wildly different.
Right.
Very wild.
And this, the most exciting thing about this, and I want to get Taylor's thoughts here. The most exciting thing about this is it's a new line of Pokemon games. This is called Pokemon Legends Arceus. So Pokemon Legends can now explore so many of these legendary Pokemon, like a Celebi Mew,
the devil Pokemon. That's the one I want to see.
Who's the anti-creator?
It's like, what's his fucking name again? Arky something? I forget his name. He's like gray with those like black dragon wings and they're like all ruined. You know?
I don't remember.
I forget his name. No. But it's Pokemon Satan. More or less.
I mean, that's dope. I mean, and that's one thing that we should also take note of. There's not two of them.
Yeah.
Yes, this is very, very true.
Yeah.
This we're getting only one. This is like, this better be something, because they're going to need. I mean, they sell two copies of a lot of games to one person, and now obviously they have the remakes coming as well. But that's kind of cool. I'm excited to see what happens here. Taylor, what are your thoughts?
I am cautiously optimistic. I need to see actual gameplay of the battle system, and see how that works. The trailer seemed really cool. I'm interested. I wonder what the timeline for this is too. Like if this is something that could potentially be out within the next year, or if this is something that
they said 2022.
Like,
so
4 years. Oh, I missed that.
Apparently. That's what they said, but we don't, I mean,
yeah,
obviously anything can happen.
But I would, if the battle system is cool, I'm all in on this. I'm just curious how they're going to execute it.
Yeah. Maybe there's some sort of active time battle mechanic, where you could move around. Like, actually, you know what? It would be kind of cool if you didn't control the Pokemon, you just commanded them.
Yeah,
and like
that's what I'm thinking too.
You know, and then they kind of do their thing.
Yeah, based off of your like bond level with them, they'll like actually do the attack, or the attack will do more damage or something. Right. Or like,
yeah,
sometimes cool. they can just ignore you. That's what I'm hoping for, but I don't know if that's actually gonna be the case.
This is really exciting for me. I have not been able to get obsessed with a Pokemon game since Diamond and Pearl. Mm-hmm. Like I got obsessed with that one. The other ones I played, I beat the gyms and then I put them away. Like I don't do end game stuff. I know the end game in Pokemon is typically like the thing that the hardcore really love to do, fill out the Pokedex, all that stuff. I haven't been crazy about Pokemon in a long time, and this looks like it's going to be something special, because there's Pokemon from all different regions, which again, kind of like the starters are, Turtwig. It was Turtwig. Was it Oswat?
Are you doing Gen 3?
Yeah, right it was. Now? No, it was. Oh, no, it's a mishmash. It's all different ones.
You're saying.
I think it was Turtwig.
Puplip.
Mm. Was it Puplip?
Yeah, it was the penguiny one, right?
No, that
penguiny. The penguiny one.
I think it was Oswat, and then there was the
Piplup.
Hold on,
Piplup. I said it wrong.
Piplup. Do they say it in this? They don't say it
a wild Pokemon just entered my room like 5 seconds.
Somebody said, Turtwig, Chimchar, and Puplip. No, Turtwig, Chimchar, and Puplip were the starters for, right? This one combines different region starters.
Sure.
I know what you mean. I know the fire one was Cyndaquil.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It was different generations starters, all mixed.
Yeah, so I think it would be cool if like, the whole story of this game is Arceus destroying the continent and separating all the regions, you know, and like that's how you get all the regions, is that there's almost like a sort of extinction event. There it is: Cyndaquil, Rowlet, and Oshawott.
Yeah,
those are the starters. Which one? Why did I say Turtwig?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were there wild ones out there? I don't remember.
It's interesting picks for starters, by the way.
Yeah, and the other cool thing is that they had a different Rhydon or Rhyhorn. I think it was Rhyhorn. Was like a different type. So there's going to be new typings as well. Well, old typings that are new to us. It's going to be cool, man. I hope that they nail this one, because this is a huge undertaking. I wonder how long they've been working.
They
on
got
this.
Plenty of time to get it out there, so it's coming 2022. Yeah. Oh yeah. Boy,
it's a long way. They say early 2022.
Yeah, we'll
so I'm thinking it's a February March release. Mm-hmm. And our last story to talk about. We had a
Let's talk about PlayStation.
Play. That's right, PlayStation. Let's talk about PlayStation. Let's talk about me and him. Let's talk about all the co-op and the voice chat we can have. Let's talk about PlayStation. Okay.
Really bad.
I'm just going to do a quick rundown here of the bullet points, and then circle back.
That would be great.
On the like three or four cool things from this.
Cool.
Okay. PS5 enhancements for Crash Bandicoot 4. Deep dive into Returnal, introducing Sifu, which is that cool kung fu looking game.
Oh, yes.
Knockout City, dodgeball.
Yeah, we got a little deep dive into that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ultra Void deep dive into Ultra Void from Solar Ash.
No, Solar Ash is the game.
Yeah. Ultra Void is the place.
The place.
Deep dive into Ultra Void. In the gameplay for Solar Ash. New gameplay for the next Five Nights at Freddy's. They should stop making those. little trailer for Oddworld Soulstorm. That's coming out on April 6th. Gameplay and story details around Kenna, Bridge of Spirits, which I know a lot of people are jazzed about. A really cool new trailer for Deathloop, which I'm really jazzed about. Mm-hmm. And a PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming June 10th. So I think the biggest thing that came out of this was that Sifu game. I think everyone like was not expecting that and was like surprised at how cool it was. And then Kenna. So I think Sifu and Kenna are kind of the darlings of this showcase. Mm. But what are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Sifu by Slow Clap, the guys that did Absolver. And you can tell it's like in the DNA of that game, what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Blew my mind. It looked all sorts of neat when I saw that thing. And Kenna was the one thing I hoped for the most. Is it Kenna?
They say it 100 times. It's Kenna.
And I'm going to say it Kenna. Because fuck yeah, you.
Totally
so
Kenna.
So Kenna. I am so in love with that game. Ember Labs, please respond to my emails. Monica, if you're listening, please.
That's why they're not responding. They know you're pronouncing it Kenna.
I emailed you 4 times. Steven, I have emailed people the wrong name of their game before, and they've said yes to come on the show. So don't start with that shit.
They know, but they're the big time. That's the difference. They're the big
time.
But
yeah, that game looked all sorts of cool. And mm-hmm. I think one other big thing from this, Taylor, was the FF7, the Yuffie DLC was announced at this thing also, which... Whoo!
But the Yuffie DLC is not even the big story. It's the story within that story, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. twofold. Mm-hmm. One, that is exclusive DLC to PlayStation 5.
I know.
And two, mm-hmm. they announced that Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be a PlayStation Plus game. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. And anybody who owns the PS4 version gets a mm-hmm. free upgrade to the PS5 version, mm-hmm. which means you get that Yuffie DLC, no problem. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. you cannot upgrade the PS Plus version to the PS5 Ultimate Edition with the Yuffie DLC. So
weird.
Not allowed to do it. Nay, they say. Mm-mm. Nay.
Did they even outline a way for you to like
no
pay to upgrade? I didn't see
not
that
yet.
Part.
There are no details in that yet. Mm-mm. Right now, it's all about I think what they have the numbers, right? Like they know mm-hmm. how many PS5s are in the wild. They know how many people have a PS4. They understand that. And they're like, listen, it's going to be a while since we can meet the demand for PS5 anyway. So mm-hmm. give them the thing, you know, for free. Or if they want to buy it and get a quote free upgrade when they get their PS5, great. Or if they can't get their PS5 until Christmas anyway, or whatever, they could just buy the game, the Ultimate Edition of, you know, the PS5 version of the game. You know, whatever. Like, I think that's kind of their thought process on this. This is obviously not a Sony thing, because Sony is paying money for it to be a Plus game, because mm-hmm. yeah. that's how that works. So it's very weird. It's weird messaging just because of how other games have approached this before, and everybody's doing something different in all of these different ways, and how the instant PS Plus collection for PS5. Say that 10 times fast. How that happened, which were almost all of them were PS4 games for your PS5. So like, it's just a weird thing. You have to remember, this is a Square Enix game. This is not a Sony game. So it's been exclusive to the PlayStation ecosystem, yes. Mm-hmm. But this is a Square Enix thing.
You know, it's just the idea of like console exclusive DLC. Like, it's within the Sony family, but only for this particular side of the family gets the DLC.
Yeah.
I understand the thinking. I think they're hoping by the time June rolls around, when this thing is released, on I think the 21st of June it gets released to the world, there'll be more PS5s in the wild, and we'll get the folks hooked on the free PS Plus version who haven't bought it yet. And now I want to play this DLC. I got to buy the PS5 version. Oh, wait, I have to buy the actual full game too, and the DLC.
I think they said that the PS5 version of the game that you buy, like if you buy the version outright, you have the Yuffie DLC as well. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you're upgrading your PS4 version, you have to buy the Yuffie DLC. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how they're doing that.
And there was no price but mentioned either for what either of these things cost, either the DLC or the standalone PS5 version of the game. So
the messaging is just bad around this. It looks bad. Like, plain and simple, it makes them look like they don't know what they're doing.
When you live in the world where, you know, companies get chastised for not offering like some sort of upgrade path, we've had months of this leading up to next gen launching. To not see this coming a mile away, that people wouldn't be too jazzed about it. Like, I understand those folks who are getting it for free on PS4 via Plus. You didn't pay for the game. To demand a free upgrade is, I don't want to say it's entitled, but it's, you know, us early adopters who bought the game at full price or at a discount get the benefit of a free upgrade. So I feel like I've earned that in a sense. Like, I bought the game when it was launched. Give me the free upgrade.
Oh my God.
Andy. It just...
Did something just dawn on you, Steven? Is this the dog in the back?
I see your dog.
He is such a fucking creeper.
He's so adorable.
I know. I live with this every single day of my life.
What a handsome, handsome boy.
He just had a haircut like
two days ago. Cujo, you are dapper.
He is so adorable.
Anyway, for our audio listeners, there's a beautiful, beautiful little...
Do that right
what
there.
Kind of dog is it? I forget.
He's a miniature schnauzer.
Miniature schnauzer.
Look at him. Look at him. Hey, Cujo. Hey, buddy.
Cujo. After the show. We'll bring him up. This is what you get on twitch.tv/dualscreenstream. So don't be an idiot.
I promise.
Support the show. Go watch us live. Yes, on all fronts, I agree with everything. I think Kena is going to be it's my most anticipated game of the year right now. 100%.
Right.
Interesting. Man, it just looks so cool. Like, the combat looks Dark Souls light, if that makes sense. Like, it looks like something I could really get my hands on and really explore. I can't wait to get my hands on that. Sifu looks like it looks like it had a little bit of a rogue element to it. Because, like, he gets knocked out, he drops down, he wakes up older.
Yeah, he was, like, aging. Yeah. I got that sense. Like, a Rogue Legacy kind of a thing. Like,
right.
The character ages as you die. As you die. You learn. Yeah. That's the feeling I was getting, too.
So, I don't know if that's going to be for me. But if the combat is that, looks that fluid and plays that fluidly, like, if it's a Arkham-style or, like, Spider-Man-style fighting, but, like, without button prompts and stuff, but is more about timing and looking for visual cues and just flow. I'm totally in.
And you guys, Returnal cannot get here soon enough.
Dude, Returnal looks fucking phenomenal.
I can't stress how much in love with that game I am. It's hardcore science fiction and it's a roguelike bullet hell. It's just like this horrifying marriage of things that drive you insane.
Yeah, it's gonna. It's gonna test you because it's gonna break you. Like, on paper, it's all of the games I'm terrible at. Mm-hmm. Like, literally the worst at bullet hell, awful, just awful. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't shoot things. I like to shoot things, but I just can't. I'm just not. It depends. Like, the Division, I could shoot really well.
We played some Gradius type shit together. We did pretty good.
We did okay. Let's not mince words here. I was the sandbag. And then there's
100% yes.
And then there's the rogue elements. Like, I'm just hoping that the narrative of the game and the presentation of the game and the progression that they do allow you to have is enough to keep me engaged long term. It reminds me of the world intrigues me in those same ways that Control's world intrigues me. But the problem with Control was that the save states in that game were terrible and it just took me out of the game.
Right.
Which I want to revisit on PS5. Actually, I heard it's much better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, this game is going to be, man, I think it's going to be really great.
I am stoked for Deathloop. Deathloop was the highlight of the show for me.
Really?
That game looks... Oh, yeah.
That was your highlight?
Yes. I don't think you understand how high on that game I am right now.
I don't really.
I think that's maybe one of my most anticipated games of the year. Because Arkane Studios is incredible. Mm-hmm. Every game that they've put out, I have just been in love with. And this looks like such a cool take on that formula. Mm. Like, I am... so excited for it. Mm-hmm. I think that game is going to be great.
You know, the more I see it, the less I'm interested. Let's just put it that way.
Really?
Yeah. We should also mention that we got a surprise freebie announced also. In Oddworld Soulstorm is going to be a free PS Plus game, the PS5 version, when it launches in April.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a nice little bonus. Like, oh, shit, free game for April. That's good. They keep doing this. They're consistent with these big titles on PlayStation for PS Plus. You know, we had Maneater, we had Control, and, you know, FF7 and Bugsnax, and now we're getting a brand new game in Oddworld Soulstorm.
Right.
Free game on
Plus. And we had Destruction All Stars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to address the chat really quickly. We don't typically do this. We usually do this for a session.
Go for it. They've been very lively tonight.
But
I'm
Mikey Kirsch says, I can't help but wonder how the whole tone of the show would have shifted if instead of Crash and Five Nights at Freddy's, you had an actual first party game in there. I think, Mikey Kirsch, I think Returnal is that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they want because Returnal is so close. I think that they want that game to be their first party game until it's out. I don't think they want to take its thunder away. I think that's why we got the release date for Ratchet and Clank in a blog post instead of like like in a presentation.
Right.
That's why now MLB The Show's multi-platform, but even that is getting just its own little thing on the side. What would be the only, I guess the only other game there that would be in competition is, Kena, but that's coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't really fit
right. But Kena and what did you just mention a second ago? Returnal.
Yep.
They can exist in the same space without them taking up each other's thunder. But the second you throw a Horizon in there or a God of War, it takes all the air.
Or anything
out of the room.
New, like yeah, right. Anything new would take the air out of the room
and,
too. Like, oh,
and
let's
those games don't even have release dates yet; just sort of vague windows of when we'll be getting them. So I think having these other games get their spotlight matters more now. It's also very early in the year as well.
I don't know. I don't buy that. They showed the same four or five games at E3 for 3 years in a row. Like, I just don't think that showcasing those games in this and having something for Horizon or for Ratchet would suck the air
play
out of Returnal.
For 30 minutes, it's like...
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute state of play.
This is also... It's not a
huge thing.
Like, yeah, it's a little different because they could do these at any time
What I'm saying is, like, they had previously with their E3, they had these smaller games that had plenty of momentum and did just fine up on stage next to God of War and Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us. And like,
but that's more about filling a 90-minute show with putting as many games as you possibly can to show why your console matters most,
and you're also the point of it is to steal the show. Like, the point of it is to be the thing talked about,
and I can imagine a God of War or Horizon getting individual state of plays once those things are closer to an actual release date, which I would want that.
I don't know, I just feel like the console has been out for, you know, what, 5 months now, 6 months now,
just about,
and I understand what you're saying, and they'll do a bigger blowout at E3, but like Nintendo is giving you reasons to play their games. Microsoft is giving you reasons to play their games. Like, I think there needs to be more for what's coming up. And I don't think like showcasing one of your first party games is going to take the air out of some of these other ones that you're trying to push. Mm-hmm. It has to like give people something a little bit more to look ahead to. Than just like, these are the two games coming out in the next 2 months for us.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree if it wasn't something that could be remedied in 6 weeks when they come out with
another state of play.
Another state of play. And like, they give you that thing. They shifted.
But they're not doing it every 6 weeks. That's the thing.
But because they haven't had anything to show. But when, if you rewind to last year, this is what they did with. When COVID happened, they didn't speak about Ghost of Tsushima outside of like a little glimpse. And that was after we already knew about it because Last of Us, or the other way around. One of them was coming out first. I forget which one.
But Last of Us 2 preceded good.
Right. So it was Last of Us 2. They were like, no, this is Last of Us 2's moment. And mm-hmm. they pounded us with Last of Us 2 for like 2.5 months. And then as soon as Last of Us 2 came out, we got the deep dive into Ghost of Tsushima. And they ramped that up for a month. And those games came out 1 month separate. One. So like, I think that we're kind of, you know, we're barely into March. We have less than a month or a little over a month until Returnal comes out. I think if you look into mid-March, late March, and you say, hey, we're going to give you the final look at Returnal, which is exactly what they did with Ghosts and, mm-hmm. And Last of Us. And there was another mm-hmm. game too. What, that came out earlier in the year. It was April. And then what was it? April, July and August, or April, June and July, something like that. There was one other game that Sony came out with. I forget which one it was, but they did the same thing there too. They know how to rev the hype train. I just don't know if what that game's going to be. Will it be Horizon? I guess logically it would have to be because they already announced that. But like, if it's not ready to show, like, I don't know what you could really do between now and April, but you know, we'll see. I mean, they obviously have something working. Like Sony Bend obviously is working on something, right? Like they have to be working on something. They have like 5 or 6 studios that haven't announced what they're working on right now. So,
we'll see. I don't know. I'm not saying that they need to do a full like blowout of their next 3 big first party games, but like, mm-hmm. I don't think it would be a detriment. And I actually think people would walk away with a lot more positive feeling about the showcase if at the end they, or somewhere in there, they did some more Ratchet gameplay or something, like mm-hmm. something else from their first parties, instead of like, you know, like Mike said, why do we have to see Crash 4 again? Why do we have to see Five Nights at Freddy's? Like,
because those marketing dollars, Taylor, you know, we paid for these deals and we got to highlight these games to make sure they get sold and all these deals are worthwhile. That's how it goes down. But, you know, I do want to end on one thing with this. I don't like how it was like sort of unfairly compared to the Nintendo Direct, this state of play. I feel like two different kind of presentations. One was like gone for over a year. That was, you know, 3 times as long. And this is like a tiny 25 minute chunk of stuff coming in the next 2 months. Two different beasts.
Yeah. Nintendo was 500 plus days between directs.
Right.
But, or like Nintendo directs, they've done game mm-hmm. directs before, but, mm-hmm. And Pokemon directs. Mm-hmm. What do we got right now, Andreas, in?
Oh my God.
Our hype zone.
From the hype zone? Guys, yeah. You guys.
Tell me about this hype zone right now.
Guys, Jetpack Joyride has a sequel. It's been 9 years since you had Jetpack Joyride. And there's a sequel out now if you live in Canada, Australia, or New Zealand. Now, those of you that live in Old Zealand, you're shit out of luck. New Zealand only. But where did this come from? I feel like I'm going back in time, seeing this character's face with that shit-eating grin on his face and just things blowing up behind him. I had no idea this was in development at all.
Yeah. And was this one of those original OG? No, it wouldn't have been. Maybe it. You said 9 years ago? No, it wasn't. I remember seeing the
Avatar. It's been 9 years.
Was it one of those PSN games or is it after that?
I think remember, it's like, closer to 10.
That was before that, right? That was 2007, this I was think, a, is when they started
I
that.
Think this was a PS Plus or a free game at some point, I want to say.
I'm sure it was.
Because that's why it's on my PlayStation 3. I think this was like a free game in one of the months. But it's
the game's fun, though.
It is fun.
It is a fun game.
And it's back again. Yeah. And it's, I don't know what to make of it. It's just here. I'm amazed.
Yep. Hot diggity dog.
Hot damn.
All right. We're going to kick it to the chat in our mailbag. So they're going to ask us questions. Queue up your questions. And let us know that it's a question, like somehow. Like,
with
donate
some sort
that it's
of
a question.
Symbol that
some sort of thing.
Would make it clear that it's a question.
In the meantime, What am I hearing? Oh, but, I was gonna say. I thought I was hearing my kids.
No, sorry,
no worries. It's no worries.
So sorry, you guys.
I got scared.
I was like, is Penny running amok again?
We have a Facebook question of the week. We didn't get a lot of love on this one, you guys. Oh, so I'm gonna kick it to you guys for some answers too.
Is it a bad question? Is that what happened?
The question of the week is, what's your subclass? What's your subclass?
I can see why this didn't get a lot of love.
So, Missed Enough says Bard Technomancer.
Yeah, I'm already That's checked cool. out. I'm done.
Thorn says Blue Mage. Now,
Here's
my subclass. Mm-hmm. I think. So, like, first of all, let's distinguish what our main classes are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think my main class is probably Bard.
Mm-hmm.
Charismatic.
Sure.
Storyteller.
All the things you wish you were in real life. Yes, I see. Right. Go ahead.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, yours is obviously kleptomaniac thief.
Well, that's what I actually am in real life.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
I want to escape that when I play a video game.
We're not talking about a video game. We're talking about life. We're talking about real life. What is your class in real life? It's God. Thief. It's definitely thief.
Is douchebag a class?
Rogue.
Is that
in
there? Yes, 1,000%.
You're a level 37 rogue. Sure. 38.
Kleptomaniac. How dare you?
Taylor, what are you?
How dare you be that accurate?
I'm an NPC.
You're an NPC.
I'm an NPC.
You're an NPC. Okay, so Andy, with that in mind, what's your subclass?
I mean, you already kind of nailed it.
But what's your subclass?
So, okay, what's my subclass? Oh God, I don't know. That's a loaded question. I'm trying to think. Because when I usually play these kind of games, you know, I'm always about the mage when I play like the D&D or the Baldur's Gate.
Like some magic, yeah.
Right. And then I kind of venture towards like sorcerer.
Okay.
When I do those kinds of things. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I think you did a pretty good job with Cujo. So what about like some sort of druid or animal handler?
Oh. Sure, I could be a druid.
You could be rogue druid.
He does know like a total of 5 tricks, so he is well trained.
And I'm gonna ask the chat to tell me what my subclass is. So if Bard is my main, what is my subclass?
Beastmaster.
All right, kicking it to chat. All right, Mikey Kirsch says, my question is, what do you think of Sony competing with Game Pass by dropping hot monthly free games consistently?
Ooh.
They're not.
Yeah. They're
not. I mean, they've been doing a good job with like putting those first-party games in there now, the higher quality titles. Right now, the name of the game is... they're trying to... Now, go with hot. Oh, I was going to read hot dog. Thank you, Missed Enough, for putting that in chat. Luckily, our viewers on YouTube can see that's happening in the chat, because that just threw me completely off. They're going for quality over quantity, and I think that they need to also do quantity.
How much more do you want every single month out of these people?
I think they need to open like a catalog.
Three.
I think they need. I think they
every
need to
single
do a,
month.
No, I think they just need to have a
do you
run
want
to list
see that,
of
do
games.
You want to see, okay, but I, do you want to see that, I, that think, price go up every single year?
I think games need to not go away every month.
I mean, the price isn't going up every single year for games Game Pass. I just don't think that's a good argument.
No, I'm saying what games go away? Like the Plus games you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you own them. As long as you have the Plus, they're there forever.
If you join late, you don't get those games.
So you're saying if you join, you have access to the previous
to the PS Plus catalog, like the Instant Collection for PS5 owners.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. They need to add first party games to it, like on release first party games. That's going to be the thing that does
if
it.
They just ooh. Gave you PS now.
Ooh. I think that would bridge the gap. I don't think we'll get day one release of first party stuff on that.
No, I don't either.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm saying that's what they need to do to like shut down Game Pass. Like if they want to beat out Game Pass, they have to do that.
But are they trying to even beat out Game Pass? I don't think
no,
they're even
but that,
trying
that was
to...
the question that was posed.
That was the question we were getting.
And so that's
here.
What I'm saying. If they want to beat out Game Pass, that's what they have to do.
Miss Enough wants to know.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Miss Enough wants to know, what kind of hot dog are you?
A Chicago dog.
Wrapped in bacon, slathered in chili, and some sour cream.
Do you really want to know what kind of hot dog I am? Because it's by far what I believe to be the most delicious hot dog. No.
Are you a Nathan's boy? Are you a Papaya King?
No.
Are you a Oscar Mayer wiener?
No. You can't.
Tell me about your wiener.
Ask me about my wiener.
Are you a corn dog?
I am a Costco hot dog that you buy at Costco cooked.
Yeah.
Those hot dogs are so fucking good.
Uh-huh.
$1.50, you get a hot dog and a soda.
It's like 9,000 fucking feet long.
I can see that.
Yep.
It's thick, it's plump, it's juicy. So one time I bit into a Costco hot dog and the juice squirt me directly in the eyyeball. Like I went like this and went
was the greatest day of your life.
And I was like, hot dog juice in my eye.
Thank you for coming to the Crossplay Podcast.
It was so delicious. It was so delicious.
We're still talking about video games, right?
No, we're
and their pizza's fantastic too, by the way. Thank
come
you,
on
Vegas.
Steve's face.
How can you be from New York and say you like Costco pizza?
Because it's delicious. What fuck you? Why can't I like Costco pizza?
You can't.
Because fuck you, that's why. It's pizza. It's good. It tastes good. It's salty.
Like, it's like fucking gas station sushi. Oh, it's good. It's all right.
No, that's dangerous. Costco pizza is not dangerous.
I don't know. I wouldn't trust
Costco pizza. You get a giant fucking piece.
I wouldn't
it's got
trust
nice
it.
Bubbly.
It's called
cheese
Costco
on the top.
Pizza.
It's called
wine
pizza.
That just says red wine on the bottom.
It's called pizza from Costco. It is not Costco pizza.
Andy, no. I'm with you on this 100%, and I live in Utah.
It's yeah, because your Utah Costco pizza is not Brooklyn pizza. It's not the same.
It is.
It's not the same.
The same.
It's literally not the same.
It is.
It's not the same.
I weep for your soul.
It's delicious. It's good. It's so good pizza. I wouldn't say let's go to Costco and get a pie. No. But when you're sitting there,
dude.
Man, we've been walking around Costco for hours. I am hungry.
Let's get one of their
world-famous
pizzas.
Let's get it's world's famous. Fuck you, man. It's like the Swedish meatballs at IKEA. Like, people go for the horse meat in IKEA.
You are a trash human.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we getting a raid? What's happening?
No. We're not.
Okay,
know.
Bye.
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us to the end of the show.
I am trash, but I don't eat Costco pizza.
Let us know.
That's the distinguishing factor.
Yeah, you hate it. You hate. That's because you just don't like yourself. And we've learned
this. I love myself way too much to put Costco pizza in this temple.
I don't know.
That I've erected over the years.
I will. You write to us and leave in the comments below. Is Costco pizza good? Question mark.
Is Costco pizza? Question mark. That's what the real question is.
No, Costco is not pizza.
It's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear from you. We want to know who your hype family member of the week is, and you haven't written it to us. So do it so that we know who you want to put on a pedestal, and we will shout them out on this show, and we will follow them and whatever they do and be like, yo, what's that? So do that. feedback@ndspodcast.com. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter and at @dualscreens on Instagram. I am at @batchhow27 on both. Andy is at @pantsguy on both. And Taylor is at @itsperger. You can also follow Taylor on Twitch at twitch.tv/itsperger. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/batchild. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. Podcasts. And follow us on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Hit the subscribe button. We love you. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/dualscreensTV. Thank you so much, listeners. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. And as always, please be excellent to each other.